There is nothing hid from Him. Despite the cover of darkness, despite the fig leaves of man's best efforts, despite the cloak of man's good works that he's done, God sees and knows exactly everything. In every depth, in every darkness, God knows it all. God also knows in the realm of all eternity. God knows everything that has been done in the cover of secrecy. God knows it all across humanity, whether it be in the king's bedchamber, when Elisha was told of the Lord of all those things that were decided, and the king, was so upset that even Elijah here, that we've got a mole in the kingdom, somebody's telling him. And finally, one came and said, he's the prophet of the Lord. He knows what you speak in your bedchamber. You know what? God tells him. Jesus made the statement that he didn't need to know. And as they begin to share, he said, I know what is in every man. And so that's the reason God reveals to us things that are true. Now, a lot of times when God reveals these things, it is offensive to man's natural mind and his observations. There are things that we perceive as good. Why? Because we see the surface. God sees beyond the surface. God sees and knows the thoughts and the intents of the heart. You and I do not. And I'm certainly thankful I don't. Aren't you? I'm certainly thankful that I don't. And so we find here that God cannot be fooled. He cannot be deceived. He cannot be tricked. And God, in light of all that God knows and sees and understands, all that He looks, that which is hidden, that which is veiled, that which is covered up, God brings all that together and He reveals things that are absolutely the truth. And as I said, sometimes we're offended by that. Sometimes it's hard for me to comprehend. Sometimes we wrestle whether that is actually true or not. But deep in our heart, we know that God is true. Now, one of the great fundamental truths that is revealed by God yet denied by man is the commonality of all men as sinners. Now, when God looks down and looks upon every man, you know what? He has given the diagnosis. And that diagnosis is clear. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter number 3, in verse 22, the latter part, for there is no difference. Now think about this. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, do you understand that statement? That offends our natural observation in how we evaluate things. We walk by sight. You know what we do? We see a lot of good. Don't we? We see a lot of good, don't we? But here's what God said. He said, for there is no difference. He tells us here, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so God here reveals a great truth, the commonality of all men as sinners. Now listen, that's not how we perceive it. Why? We walk by sight. And when you and I look, we see people that seem pretty decent to me. And then we see people pretty obvious. I mean, no bones about it. I mean, they just live wicked and vile. Their conduct, all those things, their activities, their actions, all those, I mean, it's as clear as it can be that they are vile, wicked, and evil. But God expresses to us from his knowledge, from his eyes, from his understanding, from his observation, he comes out with a great truth, the commonality of all sinners. And let's be honest, you and I struggle with that. You say, well, preacher, I believe all men are sinners. Yes, but do you believe that God lumps them all in the same category as being condemned? Now, wait a minute. That's a different story. Listen to what Paul wrote to the Jews in Romans 3:9. He said, what then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jew and Gentile that they are all under sin, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. The Jews were practicing the laws of Moses. The Gentiles were living like dogs. Paul said, listen, we proved. Are we better than they? No. Now listen, that offends the natural man. That offended the Jew. Now listen, the cross became a stumbling block to the Jew. Now, they were instructed to live according to the law of Moses. And through the pretense of self-righteousness, they were claimed to be doing it. And they certainly weren't living like others. And how in the world could they be lumped together with the Gentiles? But the Bible says, as it's written, there is none righteous, no, not one. This is what God, in a great revelation, a fundamental truth, a Bible doctrine, when God views all of humanity outside of Jesus Christ, he looks down and he sees in the depths of the thoughts, the intents of the heart, and God said, listen, all have fallen short of the glory of God, and all are sinners. That's the fundamental truth. Now, we who walk by sight, now we put them in degrees. Okay? Well, he's a good man, but he needs to be saved. I've heard that said all my life. He's a good man, but he needs to be saved. Okay? And then we've seen others. Man, do they need to get saved? Woo! My goodness, do they need to get saved? But you know what's the commonality of that? They're both under condemnation, they're both sin, and they're going to hell if they don't get saved. And so, now let me say this. I will say this. In the short term, there are certain sins that bring a greater and swifter judgment upon life. Right? Now, I'll make that concession. But that doesn't hold up as an argument in the light of eternity. Right? Because you're still going to hell. And so, as you and I consider it, we know the Bible said, Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one. That's God. What a statement. What an offensive statement. What did Jesus say? When he reviewed all of life from the thought and intent of the heart. You and I, we read the stories of people who have done sacrificial things for others. We see all of that. But God comes and offends our sense of observation and how we evaluate life. And listen, God says, hey, there's none good but God. Can we handle such a statement? Can we surrender to such a statement? Can we fully agree with God? It's hard for us. You know why? Because the natural man makes observations with these eyeballs. God looks a whole lot deeper and says there's none good. Jeremiah 17:9, the Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You say, well, I'll agree with that for a select few. He didn't make a select few with the statement. He didn't say some people's hearts. He said the heart. Whose heart? Man's heart. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? First John 1 tells us if we say we have no sin, we're lying. We're liars. Now let's relate that to our text tonight in our scripture. The Bible says, just like when a man looks in the water and sees a reflection of his face, when he looks at the heart of man, he's actually seeing himself as well. That's an offensive proverb. I'm not like him. God says in this wisdom proverbs that when you're looking at another man and you stand with contempt and you think, my goodness, are you kidding me? God is showing a commonality of human hearts. You say, preacher, how can that be? Because God looks on the heart. And understand that the natural mind, the natural man, has a common goal. That all men have this goal of self-gain and self-glory. That's common to all men. And that's what's in the heart of man. The heart of man that is not converted by the grace of God, that heart is self-serving, self-worshipping, self-glorifying. It becomes the object of his life. The gain and the glory of oneself. Now that's common to the carnal, natural man. The difference is men choose different paths to satisfy that desire. Now I want you to think about this. This is a profound proverb and a profound truth that will help us if we ever get hold of it. What God is saying is that there is a commonality of a man's heart, and the difference is not the thought and intent. The difference is the path he chooses to fulfill this goal. Let me say this. There's a commonality to man established by Bible doctrine. But there is a difference in how it is pursued. Are you with me tonight? You understand what I'm saying? All right, let's take two Bible characters. Or let's take a person in a group. All right, Barabbas. What was he? He was an old wicked thief, murderer, vile as they come. Remember this, crucifixion was not the normal execution. It was saved for the vilest offender. It was a suffrage. It was a payback for being so wicked. So that tells us about Barabbas. What was Barabbas all about? All about himself. What he could get out of life. Man, what he wanted, he went after. He was going to have this, and he's going to have that, and he's going to do this. But he chose that path to gain it. But now, let's look at another group. They're called the Pharisees. The seed of Abraham, by the way. Who wore their holy garments, who presented themselves as holy, as God's chosen, as the righteous of society, God's people. Do you know that in their hearts they were the same, but they chose different paths in order to satisfy that desire for gain and glory? Do you see that? It originated from the same heart. They chose the pathway of religious hypocrisy. And they went through those things. And sure, they made sacrifices to maintain that reputation and status. But it was still the same goal. It was out of the same heart, the same desire, that same commonality. That's the reason the Lord said, it is a broad road of destruction. You can walk on either side of it. Be nothing like in appearance to the others. And yet, when God exposes the heart, when a man looks upon a man, he's actually seeing himself. That's offensive to our observations and evaluations. But God said, I'm not fooled. I look straight in the depth of the matter. I see the thought and intents. And men choose all different paths in order to accomplish the same purpose. Yes, there are some paths that bring a swifter and more difficult judgment than others. But the goal was the same. You realize how offensive Jesus was when he told the religious Jews of that day and told the Pharisees that when they looked upon a man with hatred, though they had not committed the act, what did Jesus say? They were guilty of murder in their heart. Same thing about looking upon the woman. Did not transgress the act, but what did God look? God looked in the heart of the matter, and they realized, listen, they didn't commit the act. Why? Because they were holy and righteous? No. Listen, they feared the retribution of having done so. But listen, that's what stopped them. It wasn't goodness that stopped them. It was the cost, the penalty, the retribution for having satisfied that desire. That's what stopped them. That's not righteousness. No. It's not righteousness. And they were offended what Jesus said. Because the Jews believed that if you didn't actually do the act of something, then you were guiltless. But what did God do? God looks upon the thoughts and intents of the heart. And he condemned them as sinners because, listen, they mulled that over in their heart and had a desire to do it, but they stopped themselves from doing it because of the penalty. And so, as you and I consider the Proverbs, listen, as a man looks and sees his face in the reflection, as we look upon the heart of man, listen, we would sit up and say, I am nothing like that. The proverb is saying, listen, there's a commonality in all men's hearts. It's self-gain and self-glory. It's just that men choose different paths in order to satisfy that desire. And so a man may choose a professional course of reputation. He may choose a political course, listen, where he takes the opportunity. He may choose a business pathway. And he may just decide he's going to live in the ditch. But those men have the same heart and the same desire. They've chosen different paths to accomplish the same goal. And that offends us, doesn't it? Why? Because I don't see the heart. God does. And God pronounced a verdict upon man's heart. It's deceitful and desperately wicked. That's a declaration God made as he looked over all humanity. The fellow who wears the suit and tie, and the fellow in the ditch ain't got no clothes on at all. God looks down and sees it and makes this great declaration. I shared this before, but when Rhonda years ago was working at the sheriff's office in Florida, she come on one day after being there a couple of years, and she said, you know what? She said, I about come to realize that the ones inside the bar and outside the bar are basically about the same. It's just they ain't been caught yet. And, of course, I thought, you don't mean it. Now, of course, there were some good men. There were a few really good men she worked. You know why they were good men? Because they were Christians. Only thing that makes you good is Christ in you. Right? It's Christ that's good. He just happened to be in you as the temple of the Holy Ghost. But listen. And sure enough, one of them we had befriended. He was the law enforcement officer of the year. The whole state. You know where he was next year? In prison. He's in prison. 1 year celebrated over the entire state of Florida. Number one law enforcement officer in the state. Awarded, all kind of stuff, all kind of stuff. Next year, in prison. This year, in prison. You see, God is revealing to us that God sees and God understands and God views. The natural mind is offended by this great truth because, listen, a man does not see as God sees. We all know that. Self-righteousness is a death penalty to the soul. You see, this is an important fundamental truth. You know why? Because it helps me realize that Jesus Christ alone is my righteousness. Do we got that? It is not my raising, not my heritage, not my education, not my upstanding efforts in society. If you have any righteousness at all, it's because you put your faith in Jesus Christ and His righteousness, listen, has been imputed and imparted to you. God sees one righteous, one pure, one good, one holy. He's the only one. And listen, thank God, by His marvelous salvation, by grace through faith, listen, Jesus Christ has now come and lives in us. And so, listen, He is working out that righteousness in us because we don't have any. This is an important fundamental doctrine. Because self-righteousness does not value Jesus Christ, does not value the cross, does not value the blood. But when a man understands who he is and what he is before the eyes of God, listen, he will love and adore the Savior more than he ever has. And he will value the cross. He will value the precious blood more than anyone would have considered because he understands that without that cross, without that Savior, without that blood, listen, he stands before God condemned and without hope and will spend eternity in hell if it were not for Christ. And so it's important that this truth be understood. I'm afraid it's not understood. I'm afraid even the context of church-going people, there is this calculated measure of self-worth based upon the good things we have done. But God is showing us, when I look at your heart, I don't care how good you think it is. Listen, without Jesus Christ, you have a goal in mind, and it is yourself. You can love people, and you can care about people and do good things, but your goal is still about yourself. Listen, if we are self-centered, we are not Christ-centered. If we're not seeking God's glory, then I am seeking mine own. I don't think we understand the magnitude of that sin when we seek our glory and not His. That is idolatry. That is idolatry. If I seek my glory and not His. And so God is trying to make us understand and realize by this great revelation of truth of what He alone sees. And listen, we are fooled. We are limited. We evaluate simply by the eyes. And we do not look. And we have a tendency to desire to see good in everyone. And we have that desire, listen, to give them credit and to give them applause and to celebrate those things. But God looks down and finds in the root core of man's life. And is he seeking the glory of God, or is he seeking the glory for himself? And in the center and the depth of his heart, in the depth of his soul, God sees beyond all the good works and all the kindness and all the blessings and all that he's done and all the awards. And God sees idolatry, for he's made himself the object of glory when it all belongs to God. And so listen, what does that mean? I don't care who we are, what we've done. Listen, we're sinners and need Jesus Christ as a Savior. Because in the root, in the core, in the center of man, if he doesn't seek God's glory, he has committed the great sin of idolatry in his heart. You see, We come down to this principle: the only difference maker in men is Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the only difference maker. I know we make a difference between them. I know we do. And listen, and on that broad road, there's some we have respect for, and we evaluate them. Those on the other side of the street, well, we know what they are. But God has shown the great commonality of all of them in the very core of their being. They just chose different paths to accomplish their goal. And as you and I stop, we understand what the Bible reveals, that only Jesus Christ is the difference maker. There is one sinless, one righteous, one good, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Christianity is not simply following the example of Christ, it's Christ in you. I repeat this scripture many, many times. I believe it's one of the most powerful scriptures in the whole New Testament, Brother Jimmy, to illustrate what real salvation in Christian living is. Galatians 2:20, you know it. I am what? Crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. It's not a reformation of who I am. It's a transformation, because newness, something that was not there and not capable, was put in you and me by God. And therefore, it is the new birth. We are to put on the new man. We must be born again. When you and I understand this fundamental truth, it also encourages us to realize the importance of seeking the fullness of God's Spirit on a daily basis. For we can go out with the happiness of our own fig leaves, or we can go out having sought the presence and power of Jesus Christ in our life. And understand this, that if our works and our labors, our works of righteousness, good deed to our fellow man, if it's not Christ and the Holy Spirit of God that has motivated them, then those works, no matter how glorious, are going to be consumed at the judgment fire because you did it for yourself. There is a natural kindness. There is a natural giving. Lost people love their children. Right? Don't they give? I met lost people very kind. I met lost people very respectful. I have lost people right now. If I had a need, I'd call them, and they do everything in the power to help. But you know what God sees? God sees the intent and motive behind those things. And it's for themselves. For themselves. You know, the only people in the world that can do those things and have real value is the Christian. You know why? He's doing it for the glory of God. Without Christ, without being born again, without being saved, you and I are incapable of doing things for the glory of God. We cannot escape the fact that whatever we do ultimately has been done for ourselves, for our advancement, for our gain, for our glory. But that which is completely unselfish, that which seeks no reward from mankind, that which seeks no applause, no benefit, that has to come from God. It has to come from Christ in us. That we are capable. God has made it possible that we are capable of doing things for others with no motive or intent to receive a thing. The natural man would not waste his time if it didn't have some benefit. You and I know our reward comes from God, and that God will bless us because we loved, because we served, because we gave. And so in our proverb, we have something profound and amazing, yet something very offensive to mankind, even offensive to the Christian. Listen, he says, as you and I look in the mirror, we see the reflection of ourselves. And as we look in the heart of man, we see a reflection of our own heart. That's offensive. That's appalling. I am not that way. I am not like him. You know what God says? Pull it all back, get it all out of the way. Look down to the thought, intent of the heart, and God says, you're just like the rest of them. The difference maker is Jesus Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You see, that is the real difference that God puts in a man's life. Because there's only one good. There's only one righteous. His name is Jesus. Because I am saved, listen, thank God, He lives in me and lives in you. And so the only one capable of doing something righteous and good in the sight of God are those that have the indwelling Spirit of the living God in them. God is not impressed. God is not fooled by the works of righteousness that come of the fleshly heart. God's not fooled. We are. We'll let the tears flow of sacrifices that men make. God's not impressed. It's when the Christian in the power of the Spirit of God serves that God writes that down for a reward to be given on that great day. A great truth. There's so many ways this truth, if you ever get hold of it, it'll help you in a lot of ways. Help you in a lot of ways. It'll help us in that condescending spirit of self-righteousness. If it were not for the grace of God, there go I. You know what? If it weren't for God's grace, you'd be doing the same thing. Be doing the same thing, living the same way. You might choose a different path, but your goals are still the same. Thank God you and I have a new goal. We seek the honor and glory belonging to our God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the glory we desire, to be lifted up, magnified. And listen, we worship Him, praise Him, and listen, we owe everything to Him. And so we want the world to know how wonderful, what a great God, what a great Savior we have. And we seek to exalt Him and lift Him up. And we serve others, not for personal gain and glory. We serve others because we serve Him. And it's in His name that we give ourselves. It's for His cause. Listen, not for earthly reward, but for the favor and the smile of the face of God. For we have given all to serve Him. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for these great truths that, Lord, challenge us.